adjusted right, so he's a new man.
Is it gender reassignment? I'm just kidding.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Sunday night, he asked somebody if they were going in for surgery, and he goes, "Is it for a gender reassignment?"
Oh! Now I okay. I understand. I understand it. I understand. I understand. Harry is always way out of line.
That's the pot calling kettle black over there.
What?
So that's the pot calling
kettle black over there.
Thanks for pointing that out. Where's Joe Santa? Oh, there she is.
By the way, John, I quoted the passage on August the Dyslexic Prophet the other morning, and he disavowed any knowledge of
it. I told him, he was trying to say that was about me.
About that
part. Let's go to Matthew 13. You can't read.
No, I can't.
Why?
Can you see? He lost his glasses and he can't see well enough to.
Oh, great! You can find out about the lost and found at the bus.
No.
Somebody mugged you.
No. He can't see well enough to find him. That's the whole point.
So he's not going to be able to write the story.
No.
Yeah.
We studied Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, a few days ago. In verse 5, it says, some fell upon, he's talking about the seed falling into the ground. He said, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. Then over in Now we're just going to see when he interprets that one passage. So go over to verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or soon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation, thlispus, that what we saw where we his people glory in tribulation. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word or for the sake of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, this has been my history of watching believers. From the day that I first was at the television station until now, there is something that will happen that will offend, and it's an offense that is so strong that it causes people to leave. And that nobody's ever going to blame the word. They have to blame something else. Normally it's Harry. But what? Huh?
Stretching. What is the stony place?
That's what it says. It says it has. The seed doesn't have a chance to fall into the ground, and so it because. It's not hot soil. And so it endureth for a while, but it can't take root. Now, again, what we've been studying and talking about forever is integrity and authenticity. And you can think you have integrity until it's tested.
Place where the seed falls and then can't die.
Yeah, it would be, no, it's not brokenness, it's a hard place and there's no way to
Well, it's just a parable, so don't try to read too much into the parable. Well, it says what it is. Listen. He that receives seed into the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word and soon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. He doesn't. The root isn't in himself. It's simply a mental kind of assent. So that's the mystery. Now, during the process, I mean, I'm sure you can't believe this, but even when I was a brand new believer and I was on television, I seemed to offend everybody. And, you know, it was easy to hear the criticism and say, you need to change, you need to be nicer, you shouldn't be so direct, you shouldn't be this, you shouldn't be that, and that's what everybody told me, many of them that are in this room. I shouldn't pick on people. And then the scripture that is in this arena, that's the same, that was my lifesaver as a new believer, was this chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. So let's go there. Because nothing ever went right. I mean, from my standpoint, nothing since I've been a believer went the way I thought it should. Nothing. Including this. Huh? What?
No, I'm speak up. Large print Bible.
Harry's got a large print Bible.
I got
Bible.
No.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
Do you have a large print Bible?
Yes, I do.
No, I don't either.
He's just acting like he's reading it anyway.
Got it upside down. There's
an excuse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What?
I'll save it.
Don't save it to ask me privately.
No.
Good.
There is no need to save it.
Verse 3. If our gospel it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's important to recognize that He alone has integrity. He alone has authenticity. There is not a person that has ever lived besides Christ whose authenticity was, when it was tested, met the standard. Why? Because they died. I mean, we have all this crap going on, but it's not going on out there, it's going on in us. That if the evidence that God is in our lives is things, something is going to happen to prove that He loves me. He's going to fix something that I want to happen is going to take place. We're going to have enough money so that we don't have to worry about stuff. Or I could pick on everybody here. The magazine is going to go out on time. Your children are going to graduate and get Nobel Prizes. Whatever it is. We believe that because we talk about, oh, God is, you know, God is so good when things go right. And that's the lack of authenticity. That's the lack of integrity because it doesn't last. Even in the highest that man can conceive of, it's just a fading flower. It's just a puff of smoke. And so this is why we are here, so that whatever this mystery, this integrity and authenticity of God, which is Jesus Christ, would be tested in you. Now it's going to go on specifics and a whole line of things so that it'll give you an assurance that you don't have to, you don't even have to think about whether things go right or not. It's not your business. Listen, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, but we will give God the glory. No. How many times have you quit in your mind because something didn't go the way you wanted it to? It's endless for all of us.
Only but, lost yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Really?
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It's not your dying. You're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And how can that be? It's because we constantly crucify him afresh. Every time we don't hallow his name, every time there's something we complain about, every time we judge someone else down, every time that we haven't forgiven, every time that we think that the circumstances should be different, every time we want something, and we're crucifying him afresh because we are saying to God that the sacrifice wasn't enough for us. And so what happens? What happens in you? Bitterness, anger, pouting, resentment, anxiety. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now, it doesn't say that we are sometimes. We are always, always delivered unto death. That means 24 hours a day. So that you come to the place where your only hope, your only view, your only seeing is in the resurrection, not in something that may or may not happen with you. And this is, I can't tell you how important this is. This is the only thing that has anchored me for 35 years or whatever it is. Your mind is never going to accept this. Your mind is never going to accept that you are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You're going to try to think up something to do. You're going to try to fix it. You're going to figure out how to. You're going to try to answer all the questions so you never have to be in the position that's described here. What?
There's nothing that's not included in this. There's whether you're whatever side of it you're on, it's all God doing something, either screwing you up so that you can see something, or whatever. I mean, there's no place that's left out.
Then why are we here then? What is this about? What is this mystery of God about? If we're not going to get the things that we want, and if the life is going to be one of always being delivered unto death, then why in the hell did you Do you even name the name of Christ? Why in the hell are you here? There's only one reason. It's because you've seen the emptiness and futility of everything else. You may forget. You may get walk in a path of deception so you can go fornicate under one of those green trees. But if you, and every one of you have experienced it, you know that when you are in that place of desperation, when prayer won't help, when nothing, it's an anchor that is beyond words. It's an anchor that doesn't make any sense. It's an anchor that has no prudence to it. And in that place where there is nothing in, there's nothing that you can conceive of that that could you have no answers. That's the time that you communicate that you're in contact with this place that's indivisible, with this place that is timeless, which is, when you're in contact, when you touch eternity. I mean, everything else, it isn't meaning. It doesn't have any meaning. You know, what we used to talk about a long time ago, that all the great works of literature and all the things that have lasted are those that show this. Dostoevsky, I don't care who you pick. The works that have lasted, that have stood the test of time, are the ones that show forth the futility and emptiness of human effort. Why? That somehow show that what I feel for, and what I just, it makes me cry when the people are being told that the evidence of God's presence is gain or success in their life, because it can't possibly life itself will show that is a lie. And this is what Paul and others meant when they talked about, because of you, the way of God is evil spoken of. It's not because, you know, it's because you are buying into the same lie that the world is bought into, and you're doing it in the name of God. And it's when you're not delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's when the way is evil spoken of because of you. Does everybody understand that? What? I said, what?
I was thinking about the story about the tabernacle, how the tabernacle was created. Everybody went off and had no idea what they were making, and all the parts came together and they fit perfectly. And the thing about being built up lively stones,
the same thing.
I don't know what God's doing, but in the particular, but I know that what He's doing is He's building what He wants to build the way He wants to build it, and be happy to be a paving stone.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh, and in the Greek tense, so then death always worketh in us. But life in you. How can that be? If the words that you speak don't produce death in you, they cannot produce life in anyone else. If the basis of your preaching is what God has done for you, which is what all the modern testimonies are, that means it cannot bring life to the hearer. And And this is endemic. This is why the only thing that John the Baptist said to do is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You know, this is something that, I mean, somebody always, you know, and it's even more so now than this on the internet. Well, where else is this talked about? Well, give me a reference. Bible's a reference, but the places that this is talked about is where there's persecution of the church. This is the only thing that kept the underground church in Russia or China, and it's still today, or where John was in India. It's not some cotton candy theology that's giving you, oh, you get to get what you want. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, you got to hear what this is saying. This isn't saying, if you believe, first of all, I promise you this. It's the John, we'll rename it now. It's the John Bojo syndrome. I'm not going to talk about that. Or it was my syndrome. I'm not going to teach. But for those arenas in which, oh, you know, you've heard me make fun of it before, but isn't it sweet to hear the testimony of a new believer? No, it's not. It's just garbage. It's untested crap. Oh, but it sounds so sweet. I've heard that ever since the day I was a believer, where they'd have these people, come on up here and give your testimony. Come on up here and let's have a press release for Deion Sanders' baptism. Let him come up and teach us something about God.
Mine was sweet. Mine was sweet. They kicked me out of the Carrollton.
I know. Well, that wasn't because of the testimony.
One time, I didn't want to do it anymore.
But it wasn't because of that. It was because they didn't like you.
That too.
Yeah, and this is one. This is this one that we've spoken of so often here. That you are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, your own ideas. You've found a solution. Therefore, you are not grieved. Or the one, walk in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Aren't you tired of kindling your own sparks? Aren't you tired of trying to pump up energy into you? Constantly trying to figure out what you're going to do next?
You go buy energy drinks now.
Yeah, what's that stuff? Bull? The guy with the flying bull?
Red Bull.
Huh?
Red
Bull. Yeah. My point is, if you believe, you'll speak. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm called to be an evangelist. You're not called to be anything. You're called to die. Well, I think God's calling in my life is to be a professor. Or I think God's calling in my life is to be this. Or I think God's, the Wade syndrome. I think God's calling in my life is that I will be a great musician and play in Carnegie Hall. And write music that will just stir the hearts of men. No.
Aren't you buried in the greatness of your way?
say something that's never been said.
Yeah, that was the one. That's what. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard these words.
Yeah. That was incredibly witty.
No, it wasn't just witty. He actually said it.
He didn't even get it.
I didn't even get it.
Oh.
He actually...
He said what he just said. He said 100, 200, 300 times. I thought that was... Never mind.
You didn't get that. I just like to thank their creator.
I just gave him too much credit.
Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. No matter what it looks like.
Uh-oh. Let's be careful.
Amen.
Can we stop Bible study for a moment?
I thought it was blue.
No.
Don't hurt
me. I don't even have my phone.
No, we know who it is. Everybody. We've heard it before.
Me and Kat.
Was that yours?
Yeah.
Need
you get a little warm here?
The immigrants are back.
I saw you looking at the thermostats.
Yeah.
Day with the mix.
You can't say that.
Yes, you can.
No, because yesterday was day without a mix.
Yeah.
Today's day with the mix. We got a lot of calls.
Today and many days after.
He's working today.
For all things are for your sakes. Now, you got to hear this. That means every possible thing that can happen in the universe is for it'll be of benefit to you if you can only endure. If you can only not faint in your mind. And you know how you faint in your mind? You come up with an idea. That's what fainting is. You've stopped waiting on him, and I got it. I know what I'll do.
Escape.
Escape, yeah. You escape with an idea, or you escape with drugs, or you escape with alcohol. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, that's why I said that, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While or because we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. As long as you are operating by your senses, then nothing, you can't make it. You'll just be common, ordinary flesh. Anyway, that's what we've been talking about the last few days. That is the process for revealing his authenticity, his integrity. Because you and I don't have any. Amen?
Yeah.
Any response for anybody? Now's the time, Brian, or are you going to wait?
Right on. I go back to Matthew 13.
Go back where? What does it mean? What does that mean?
I'm going back to when we were discussing Matthew 13.
Okay.
My question for you is, let me find the exact verse.
Wait.
Ronnie.
What have you done with the
quiet,
Ronnie?
Ronnie. Somebody go adjust his machine so it makes him feel bad again.
Pull up.
Go ahead. Before you were so rudely interrupted by Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie. What are the roots?
It's a parable. A seed that falls into the ground, in order for it to bring forth fruit, has to have roots. Otherwise, it'll just endure for a while and be gone. The sun will wither it and it'll die. And the parable of the seed of Christ is in all men. The roots have to. The root is a parable, but it's signifying that it has to go. The root that for which you gain sustenance has to go so deep that it touches eternity. So that your basis of life isn't something that you can see or something that's around here. Your basis of life is eternity. The root has to touch eternity or eternal life.
That which is unseen.
And that which doesn't change with time. Remember the gift of God is, I mean, God's gift was eternal, infinite, and by it you have been perfected. And your mind will never accept that. And it's finished. Everything is finished. You can't buy that. So you've always got to do something about something. And as soon as you do something about something, then you've lost integrity. And once you've lost the integrity, then there's no more authenticity because there's nothing to be tested. Until you fall back in by repentance. That's why we account this huge long time, it seems. And it's not necessary. Time is only there because of our rebellion against that which is already finished. But we must redeem the time, for the days are of the evil one. We redeem the time by not giving it any breath. Anybody else? Anything from the root leeches? It's pronounced root. Take it, big guy. I'm tired of this. I don't know where anything came from. I just said it.
Big guy. He coined it in 1979.
I don't know. I have no idea.